Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, September the 11th, 2009. USDA says the corn crop is getting bigger and the market rallies. We'll ask why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with the Director of Statistics Division at USDA NASS. His name is Joe Persaki. Our panelist in studio today, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I want to do this show just a little bit different than we have in the past. Joe Persaki, who is the director of the Statistics Division at NASS USDA in Washington, D.C., is on the phone line with us, in studio with us, Bill Mayer. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing, and Chuck Shelby, who's with Risk Management Commodities. Thanks, fellows, for being with us this afternoon. Joe, USDA had you in lockup last night. I guess the first question is, did you get some sleep last night?
I didn't get sleep last night, but I got home, I don't know, about 12:30 my time this afternoon, took a nap till about 5 or 4:30 or something like that, and got up and I'm just waiting for you guys.
Well, what was the feeling in lockup and the questions that were being bounced around as they looked at the numbers that you had developed for the crop production and I suppose for the WASDE? And I know you won't take up the world agricultural and supply and demand estimates, but what was the rough feeling this morning before the release happened?
When we looked at the data, you know, Todd, coming in, it was like, I don't know, we weren't surprised. I mean, we had a feeling. I'd been out, you know, I was out in Illinois and kind of did some driving around, you know, in our state directors. I had a feeling before we start data that, you know, corn would be pushed up a little bit. I mean, you know, just feeling. And then beans, you know, beans, just, it's not been a great year for beans, but it's not too bad. And then when the data came in, things were pretty much alignment, you know, with what the states recommended in, what we were seeing and such. So I would say it was probably, I wouldn't say it was the easiest, you know, overnight lockup we've had, but it wasn't the worst by far that
and
we've had.
And then the two of you, any surprises when you first saw the numbers?
Not really. It was like, okay, it's big. You know, the corn up, you know, up about a bushel and a half or so at the U.S. level. We call the spec states the Big Ten. You know, we were pushing them up almost two bushels the acre. I mean, but really, it wasn't too bad. We saw a little bit more on the ears per acre, you know. And I've told people before, we use sort of like a survivability model, you know, in the ears, how many survive. And you know, there's a few more ears that look like they're going to make it to the end here. So I mean, so not really much surprising. And beans, actually, beans was really, here's the data. This is what our states recommended. It looks good. Any much debate, and you know, we moved on.
Well, Joe, the plant populations are continually going up. So you did mention there, do you guys look at every plant and consider those all ears good, or do you have to have some judgment call when you look at those plants as far as those ears are going to make it?
And that is, of course, Chuck Shelby asking the question.
Hey, John, that's a good question because, you know, people have asked that quite a bit. What our numerators are instructed to do on corn when they go out there, if there is an ear that has you know, corn, if you feel corn in the sample unit, if there's presence of grain, we will count it as an ear. Now, it could be a very small ear, but it could be a big ear. But you know, the thing is, we're just seeing a lot of ears in general, period, because the plant population, and we go back, I got to find a little table here. If we go back years, but the plants itself, you know, we're looking at about, what we're looking at is probably 600 or so more plants per acre this year than we had last year in our 10 states. So that's just plants itself. So, you know, on top of that, then we're looking at about, that's about 600 plants. And then we're seeing about maybe 1,000, not quite 900 or so, additional ears per acre. Now, there's some doubles on that as well, but then there's more ears surviving this year, too, because of the weather conditions.
Hey, Joe, Bill Mayer, as far as ear weights, were there any ear weights taken? I didn't really see anything that I came across on the report, or is that usually at a later date?
Okay, what we did on that one, it's Bill, I think.
Yes.
That was Bill was asking that. In this report, I can't see my data handy here, but we had, I can't remember, it was just a handful of samples. I can't remember. It's 10 or so samples that were sent to the lab that we actually had weight. The vast majority of that was from what we do, the kernel row length measurement, where we measure just the length of the cobs or the ears on that. So we had the vast majority of that was based on ears. Oh, here I'm looking. Somebody asked me a question while I'm digging this table here.
So wait a second. So what you're telling me is the last time around we had an ear weight, that was nothing more than a best guess. And
a five-year model, right.
Yeah, and this time around you just didn't have enough information to give us an ear weight, so didn't bring one back out?
No. Here, okay, so like here we had we had 1,000, over 1,500 samples in corn. I'm going to make sure I'm on the right table here. 1,500 samples of corn, you know, that we processed this month. Is over, closer to 1,600, okay? And we had just a little over 25 samples. We had 25 samples went to the lab for processing, okay?
What does that mean?
That means that we actually took ears and sent those in.
And measured them?
And weighed them.
Weighed them.
Okay.
Right. And that we call that was in the mature category.
And what did you find?
I'm sorry?
And what did they find?
I'm not breaking that one. A pretty good ear weight. The ones that were harvested were pretty high.
Oh, so really you didn't give us an ear weight, though, on this particular report then, right?
No, not per se. But then the pieces then, in the groups that were in doe and dent stage, we used kernel row length measurement on that.
So then to follow up on that, is that unusual for this year because of the lateness of the crop, or do you usually have more samples than that?
Yeah, like last year at this time, it's about the same, because last year we had only 8 samples last year that we actually had weight this time. But, you know, we had, almost 800 samples last year that were in doe stage. And this year we've got, you know, more behind that in milk stage.
So in the next report, you'll have more weighted samples as the crop matures.
Yeah, more actual that we actually took, you know, pulling ears that we sent into our lab for actual weighing. Yes, we'll have, you're just seeing this, we're going to have more. And the maturity, you know, the average maturity on this in this month, it's a little bit behind last year, and again a little bit behind 04. But if you go back, it's very comparable to what we did in 94, 95, 96, 97. You know, the maturity at this time.
And did you see a major difference from the east to the west, or as far as where your samples came from as maturity wise?
The thing is, if you look in the report, there's the ear count that we publish there. The western states have quite a bit heavier, or not heavier, they have quite a bit more ears in the west than in the east. And we talked about this a little bit, I think last month Todd and I did a little bit about, you know, what's going on there. And I still think it's a little bit because the crop was late getting in there, like in the Illinois, Indiana's, and, you know, in that sort of, that part of the world.
So is it safe to say that the increase in the yield is coming probably from the population or number of ear count rather than the weight this month?
Well, we went up a little. We went up a little bit on the ear weight.
Okay.
You know, we both ear weight and the
plant population.
The count went up.
And your plant population, ear count, and ear weight are all up then for corn.
I'm sorry, what?
Plant population, ear weight, and ear count are all up, but we don't have an ear weight, an actual ear weight.
Right, right, yeah. And there's the one graphic that we shared that we do show the actual ears and weight up. Both are up. That's what's driving this, because we're sending it, you know, that 161.9 at the U.S., which is, you know, that's a record.
By
bushel, 1.6 bushels,
yeah,
I think. Yeah,
yeah, by quite a lot. And then you have nearly a 13 billion bushel crop. The two of you, did that surprise you this morning? I don't think anybody was really not looking for that big a crop when it came out this morning.
No, I guess from my standpoint, whenever you looked at the pre-report estimates that were out there and the average trade guess, I mean, it was within less than a half a bushel from the average trade guess. I guess I didn't see any big surprise there.
Yeah, and our MC estimate was 161.4, so we were right close to the estimates.
In the neighborhood, yeah.
Yep. Right, and then on the corn side of the ledger, of course, we gained on Friday, which I suppose maybe we can have the two of you talk a bit about, but we probably ought to get some of the numbers in as well. September this week in the corn pit had a high at $3.14¾. Its low was at $2.96¾. The settlement price up 14 cents. December futures at $3.19¾, up 13.5. Did the action in Chicago play out the way you thought it should?
Well, we had a pretty good handle on the report. I think the trade did that. What we talked to the guys in Chicago, they felt that it was unwinding of spreads of folks that had bought beans and sold corn and wheat, because you saw the wheat market react fairly positively too, and there wasn't really anything supportive in the wheat numbers today, so it looked like more spread unwinding than anything else.
Well, I think we just kind of ran into the selling too whenever we got down towards those lows of today, and there was some reaction probably. I mean, there was were some bigger numbers being thrown around out there. I mean, you heard anywhere from 165 to 168 in some cases. So I think there's some maybe relief, I guess, from the trade that it wasn't bigger than expectations. But I think it was more continued action from what we'd seen the day before, a few days before.
Were you surprised at all? And Joe doesn't take care of this side, the WASD numbers, but were you surprised that the folks at the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report, that they produced a report that, again, increased numbers for usage? Or are we really down far enough in price that it just keeps chugging along for corn? I mean, that they added, what, another 250 million bushel, I think, to this, right?
Well, I've been talking about this a little bit at some of the meetings we've been doing, and I think Chuck has mentioned some of this as well. But when you have large crops, I mean, typically you see feed and residual go up. I guess the number that's a little bit interesting to me is probably on the ethanol. Just it's a big increase from one year to the next. We do have good margins. We are going to see some new plants come on, so it's hard to argue with that. But I guess I think that that's probably the USDA is maybe a step ahead of the trade here as far as increase in the usage.
I talked to Darrell Good this morning about some of these numbers. And Chuck, on the feed and residual number, he said if, and this is sort of the way he put it, on the increase from last month and this month both, you have to buy into the fact that it's just loss and not feed usage. So you're a feeder. You think that USDA can be right on that?
I think it's a long-term, long-run thing. I think it's good in the long run. You know, a lot of the hog guys, they're pretty much committed to it. You know, you got a building, you got a payment on it, and we have had some thinning back in there. But I don't think there's any denying the cow herd is one of the smallest, in many, many years. So I guess we're going to start, increasing and feeding out. I hope that's true. I hope the demand comes around and picks it back up. They're also talking about feeding to heavier weights.
Yeah,
too,
I think what Darrell was trying to suggest was that it was actual loss, not on the livestock side, but just loss from crop that doesn't make it into the system for one reason or the other. It's a late harvest season, and it just doesn't get used And they have to put it somewhere.
It's feed and residual. We have to keep that in mind. And I think one of the things that you have to look at is that sometimes when you have the bigger crops, you do have more loss because of temporary storage and some of those things, and, you know, never getting to the market, as well as maybe some overestimation whenever you talk about big crops. But I think the other side of it is the fact that we're 15 days into the new crop year, and I feel like we're kind of bottoming out on this livestock side of it. So we really have, you know, 11 and a half months here to pick back up and start going the other way on the livestock side of it. And we're only showing that we're, what, 100 million bushel more than last year as far as feed usage goes. So I'm not sure. I guess I can buy into that.
Joe, when you look at the numbers, and this would not be just this report, but probably the reports from earlier in the week on the crop progress, maturity of the crop stands where for corn now?
It's behind. It's behind last year, and it's we use a number, I can't remember. It's like 4.6 is our number, our average maturity. At this time, you know, last year we were looking at 4.8, and then 2 years ago, which was that early harvest, was 5.6. So, you know, we are behind.
Well, yeah, but what does that number stand for, Joe? A 4.6, a 4.8.
Yeah, hang on here. I got to find the sheet here to translate that. That means we're closing in on, you know, dent stage across the 10 states.
If the weather continues to be favorable, and you've already seen pretty good weights, if we have a favorable end of this crop, it would seem logical to me that the yield would go up because, again, we've already got good weights, and if we continue to finish this off, it would add bushels.
Right, yeah. I can't tell you where we're going to be because, you know, who knows what happens, but I can tell you, like in 04, we had a huge jump from September to October. It all depends how warm it gets here during the rest of the month of September.
Isn't there some historical correlation there that, you know, August to September going up, you typically see the September to October increasing?
But, I don't look at that. I think you guys do.
Okay.
It just all depends on when, you know, what things come in, you know, because I think early on in the discussion we had, you know, how much corn is actually going to our lab. And that's the key, is when we start actually taking those ears and send it to our lab and, you know, seeing what's happened. All I can tell you is a couple years ago we got fooled a little bit, is that this is when I was actually in Iowa. The early corn in the lab was heavy, and then as we went later on, it got lighter and lighter. So, but in this case, I don't know. I mean, it's a different year.
What year was that? Was that 2007?
I think it's 7, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was 07. Tell me more about, do you have the numbers in your head for 04, what the jump was like?
I was on in D.C. at that time. I asked the folks, are we looking at the right year's data? I really did, because we had a jump from, you know, three, you know, going like from 0.365-ish on weights to 391. I mean, we're talking some just like huge weight increases, you know, going from September to October.
Hold on, what were the numbers you were
showing? I think in that year from 04, it went from 149 to 160.
Yeah, right.
And on the national yield?
Yeah, it was an eight bushel yield. It was the largest yield we ever had.
All right. Yeah. So, Joe, I know you can't talk about this or think about it too much. I know you think about it, but you can't talk about it. How about that? But Iowa, what if that crop is a lot bigger than what Joe's saying and the folks at NASA are saying? What if it's, I don't know, what if it's 14 bushel bigger than what it's listed? And I'm not pulling that number out of my head either. Put it at 201, I think, in Iowa.
I think the one thing you got to consider is that this is, because of the maturity issue, this is probably more similar to an August-type report than a September, just because you're about that far behind. So your increases, I would expect that you would see increases as we move forward, unless, like Chuck said, we have problems with the freeze or, you know, not getting it finished.
Joe, what's the Iowa number at this point? It's
187.
187.
Right? 187, yeah.
So I saw numbers from a University of Illinois calculator that suggested possibly a 201 if we finish.
Yeah.
If we finish it out. That's if we finish it out, of course, but I guess we're awfully late. But what happens to the market if we add another, I don't know, what would that add, Joe? I mean, what would it take to add another bushel to the national yield?
You got to remember, I was about 20% or so, maybe a little bit more this year, of the whole U.S. So, you know, every five bushels, it adds one bushel to the U.S., you know, on that, what they do. But, you know, it'd be a lot, you know, because what did you say, up 14? That would be, divided by five, so it's almost three bushels at the U.S. level, but just by themselves.
Yeah.
And right. I think that's something that I don't know that the producers are exactly ready for that one, especially in our part of the world.
I don't think the trade's ready for that either.
Well, I don't know. You're
speculating here now.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's all speculation, of course, and that those are just numbers sort of out of the air. But I guess it's something you have to think about because at this point, for the two of you here, when you look at the marketplace, there's carry. It says store the crop. And I suspect that you're both telling producers, are you both telling producers to store the crop or to do something along those lines first? Maybe we ought to decide whether that's the case.
As far as the new crop corn, yeah, right. I think that's the obvious. When you look at corn versus beans especially, I think you got to look at storing the corn.
One thing we've been telling producers is try to calculate bushels that you would have to think you're going to have to sell off the combine, don't have space for it. You need to start making that decision now. We'd rather sell it now than wait. And then on the other side of it, we prefer to have some put options and $3 puts underneath us just in case this number does grow, which at this point is not out of the question if we have decent weather.
I just want to say one thing. Let's maybe go back to the demand side a little bit, but before we get off the corn too far here, if you look at the world supply and demand, I think it's important to realize that we have this record crop in the United States, a bushel and a half bigger than we've ever had, and we're dropping our global carryout by about 5 million metric tons. So we're just looking at it from a macro sense, we're still not raising as much corn as we're using on a year-to-year basis, at least estimated for this coming year. So there are some positives, I think, out there from the demand side of the equation.
Well, obviously, the U.S. The trade thought that it was a positive report for corn this morning, and I suppose we probably ought to leave it in that light.
Or didn't think that it was a negative report.
There you go.
maybe that's a better version of it. So let's take a look at some more of the numbers. Wheat futures, a September high for the week at 442 and a quarter, a low at 425 and a quarter. The settlement price was 2 and a quarter lower. At $4.41 and three quarters, July at $5.10 and three quarters, down 4 and a quarter. From the soy complex, September beans had a high this week of $9.90, the low at $9.51. September beans settled at $9.84.5, up 23.5 for the SEPs. The Novembers, on the other hand, were down 19 cents at $9.03. Joe, you want to recap what the USDA NAS numbers were for the beans?
Yeah, for soybeans, we went up just a tad on soybeans. Now this is we have record, you know, it's record acres on beans. It's the third largest yield that we've got going here on the soybeans, and then it gets us at a crop that's very big. We're looking at the 42.3 bushels on the beans, and if we realize, you know, that's going to be our largest soybean crop.
Yeah, at 3.25 billion bushels.
Right, exactly.
Looking at the state-by-state, pod counts that you had in the report, it looks like really Illinois in the east is down and Iowa is way up there. Am I looking at that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, when we looked at things, I mean, the states were mostly up except Indiana was down quite a bit. We knocked about three bushels off of them. They've got, it was wet and such, and in some places you get some bug problems going on as well, but we had no change in yield.
I'm kind of comparing it to last year here, Joe, I guess.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, compared to last year, right. It's a little bit better, but the West definitely is better than the East.
Do you ever look at the number of you know, beans per pod, or is simply pod count?
We just look at pod count. We do have a research project going on the side here that, you know, we're looking at that. You know, because we, you know, early on we're just trying to get a better handle on what's going on with the pod weight. That's one thing that we're looking at on the side. But right now, we just count, you know, count the pods in our operational program.
I would like to just go back to the maturity issue again here, especially on the bean side. I mean, was there any notes or any comments, anything brought up about the lateness of the crop?
Yeah, that one's a big concern, too, because the maturity of this crop right now is almost on par. It's, you know, virtually no different than what we saw last year at this time. But, you know, you go back, it's definitely behind 05, 06, 07, those years. But very similar to last year time, what we see.
Do we know what the impact, because it's a light-sensitive crop?
Yeah, that's the big issue. We discussed that in the board. It's like, it all, you know, it all depends. They're running on daylight, not necessarily heat on this.
Right,
on the beans.
Right.
That's the key on this one.
Because they're determinate beans, or yeah. non-determinate beans.
Right.
They're light-sensitive, so they'll shut down based on day length more than anything else. So you guys had much of a discussion on that? Was there any evidence one way or the other what impact that might have?
Yeah, basically it's a fact. You know, it's one of those deals. It's a fact. Here's the pod count. Okay, this is how many days we have left. This is how much daylight we have. So it's really interesting. We did not have the discussions on beans that we did on corn. Beans was pretty straightforward. Here it is. Let's go.
All right, so let's see if we're straightforward on this end. Here it is. Let's go. What do you think, Chuck? What are you doing with these now?
The basis is still good. Take a good basis and come back in and buy them in, buy back into the market for the long haul.
So you take a good basis and go ahead and sell it, but you want to sell a basis contract?
No, we want to go ahead and sell the cash it in, get your money. And look
old and new crop both?
Yes. And we think down the road, until, you know, South American crop comes in, the market will be supported. But, again, we like taking the profit, taking a good basis, and going on.
Well, we kind of had a technical turnaround on the soybeans this week and kind of turned the trend to lower. And I guess that 885, which has kind of been in the sights, the targets there for a while, looks like it's we're going to probably go down and test that. We're not that far away. So I guess right now our thought would be to maybe wait and just see here whether we go down and if that level holds or not. And I think we're still going to have a lot of volatility in these beans, and there'll be some probably better opportunities than right now.
Just a word for all the, you know, producers out there. We at NASS, we want to just thank everybody for taking the time to fill out reports and, you know, listen, you know, take the time to respond to us. And for you guys in the studio, if you guys ever want NASS to come out and talk with you and or your clients, we're more than willing to.
All right. Thank you much, Joe.
Hey, take care, guys.
You too. Joe Persaki is the Director of Statistics Division at USDA NASS. Now time for a final word from our panelist in studio, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Well, we've got our work cut out for us to deal with this market. I think there's going to be opportunities, but again, it's going to take a lot of studying and a lot of effort to turn this around and make it into a good year from this point forward.
And Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
I'm not sure that I see this as a 2004 type year, but the big question is still out there in front of us on whether we can get this crop finished or not. And that we'll know a lot more in the October report and the day that we have that.
And that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.